Amen. Please take God's word and turn to 2 Kings, in the chapter number 4. Continuing our study in the life of Elisha, this prophet whom God raised up for his generation. And we want to read from verse number 8 of this passage, 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king, or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaiden. And the woman conceived, and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the reading of this holy word. We thank you, it's a living word. And we pray today that thou wilt open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, teach us, we pray. Teach God's people how to live in a manner that brings glory and honor to our God. Teach the backslider the folly of continuing in their coldness and in their waywardness, and bring them back to the place of blessing. Speak to the unsaved, that they may understand that life is only worth living when it's lived in Christ, and death is only able to be faced without any fear when we face it as a Christian. And I pray, O Lord, this day, that thou wilt empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy spirit. May the words spoken today come from heaven and be a ministry to each heart waiting before thee. Take away all distractions, Lord, we pray. Bless us, we ask, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. In John chapter 3, verse 16, we read, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is the very basis of the gospel of God's grace. God gave. God gave his only begotten Son. And the reason we're here today in this meeting, the reason many of us are on our way to heaven with a great confidence and assurance and with righteousness is because God gave. And we rejoice that God gave his precious Son into this world. And what a blessing it is to us. And in this passage that we have read, there are different acts of giving that we come across. In fact, there are three different acts of giving that we can highlight in this particular section of God's word. You see, first of all, we see the woman who gives to the prophet. And then secondly, we see the prophet seeking to give to the woman. But then in the third instance, we see the Lord giving to the woman. And therefore, the theme of this passage has to be the theme of giving. Giving unto others. And I want us to look at these three incidences and certainly these three aspects of giving. And I trust and pray that the Lord will challenge your heart as he certainly has challenged mine as I've studied it. In the first instance, I want us to consider the blessing of giving. The blessing of giving. Verse 8, "And it fell on that day that Elisha passed to Shunem, there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so what was it, as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed, a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." In this blessing of giving, we see, first of all, the lady is highlighted here. Her status is declared at the start of verse 8. She was a great woman. And that word great speaks about her wealth, her riches, and her influence because of her wealth and because of her riches. She was a great woman financially. She was a great woman influentially. And she was a great woman in her kindness. We see that by the actions. But I believe not only that, because of her kindness and her actions, I believe she was a great woman in her faith. Because kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit, or one of the aspects, I should say, of the fruit of the Spirit. And kindness is something that should be seen within the hearts and the lives and the actions of God's people. So here was a lady who was great. And may it be said of each believer in this house today that we are great in our lifetimes. Not great in the eyes of the world. Not great in popularity, but great in faith. Great in kindness. Great in our Christian influence. May that be the testimony. They had a great life in that they used it for the glory of God. This woman also had resources that she was willing to use for the ministry and to be an encouragement and a blessing to others. Now, not only had she resources, but there was a willingness to use those resources. And sometimes we have resources and we have opportunity to help others and we don't bother. But this lady had a kindness within her heart. She had a willingness to share and to seek to do good to others and to encourage this man of God in the work that he was doing. So we see the lady, but we also then see the hospitality. And I think this is very important. Some things we think aren't just as important as other things in Scripture. My friend, if God has given to it in his word, then it is important. It's worthy of our attention. It's worthy of our consideration. It's worthy of our implementing it in our lives. There was a welcome here. This hospitality meant that she welcomed this individual into her home. She constrained him to eat bread, we read in verse number 8. That means she strongly encouraged him. She was moved to seek to encourage him on his journey and in his work. So this home was open for this man to have a meal. And you know, there's something to be said about the kindness of the people of God and the hospitality of the people of God. Have you ever prayed that the Lord would make your home a place of hospitality? Have you ever prayed that the Lord would make your home a welcome home, where people can come into your house and feel welcome in that place as you show them kindness in the name of the Lord? Is it an open door? Is it a place to invite people, to encourage them, and to fellowship with them? This home was open to the prophet. I remember about 10 or 11 years ago, whenever I was in Australia one summer preaching out there, that there was a lady in the church, and she asked me one night, would I come to her house on a Friday, a few weeks' time, because she was inviting some of her friends and work colleagues to have dinner. And they were all going to sit around this dinner table, and there's going to be fellowship, and there's just going to be a time of eating and chatting together. But then she was going to ask me to speak, to give my testimony, and for about 10 minutes just bring a short gospel message sitting there at that dinner table. And I said, well, I'm happy to do that. Do the people know what they're coming to? Do they know that they're coming? And they'll hear this. She goes, yes, I've told each one that I'm inviting my pastor at this time to come, and he's going to share his testimony, and he's going to share a message out of the Scripture. And I went that night. There was about 8 people sitting around the table, a lovely meal, and there was great chat and fellowship. And at the end, I had the opportunity to open the Bible and speak the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a lady who opened her home. There was a lady who saw the friends that she had and wanted to get them in under the sound of the word of God. They may not have agreed to come to church, but they agreed to come to her house. My friend, isn't that wonderful that she had that vision to do it? May we have homes that are open and welcome for friendship and for fellowship, and yes, even the sharing of the gospel. There was also kindness here. We know that she didn't want the man in to gossip. We know that by the detail in the scripture. We know it wasn't in to try and influence him in a certain way. It was simply to show kindness. She was willing to provide what was necessary and then step back and let him enjoy it. And you know, there ought to be kindness in the hearts of God's people. James 2:20, faith without works is dead. If you say you're a Christian, it should be shown by your life, by your kindness, by your attitude. There ought to be a kindness in the heart of Christians toward their brothers and sisters in Christ. This was sheer kindness. That's what we're told in Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And you know the greatest thing a Christian can do? That they will mature in Christ and they will go on with God? Because whenever somebody has wronged you, just come before the Lord and say, Lord, give me grace to say, I forgive and forget and leave it and walk on. The devil would want to use many things to hinder us. But may God give us the grace, as we're commanded here, to exercise in Ephesians 4:32. Whatever God calls you to do, brother and sister, do it with kindness. Do it with kindness. This is a harsh and a cruel and uncaring world. People do not care about one another generally in this world. And therefore pray for a kind heart. In fact, the Bible actually speaks of using hospitality toward one another without grudging. And that's in 1 Peter 4:9. We're to use hospitality. This is not just speaking about having a cup of tea after church. This is speaking about you in your home being hospitable, being kind, showing kindness to others that you might influence and win them for Christ. So we've seen the lady, we've seen the hospitality, then look at the provision. Now there's one thing you will notice, and I think this is important. She said unto her husband, verse 9. She said unto her husband. Why is that important? Because this lady wasn't going and acting on her own without the knowledge of what, or without her husband's knowledge. And therefore, this was a united thing. She was giving the husband the place in the home. The husband, obviously, is a man of faith as well, willing and delighting to encourage others. But the idea has seemed to have come from the lady. Is that not often the way? Sometimes it seems to be that ladies have maybe that more astute eye to see a need. And certainly she gives her husband her place and they provide a room. And it says there, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee. The idea of that sentence is, let us prepare a little chamber. It wasn't that she was building an extra room in the house, but she was using a room in the house that she would prepare and provide for this man. Now, some of the Bible commentators would tell us that it was on the wall. And it was generally, if it was the outside wall of the house or if it was the outside wall of the city in which they were living, the family generally didn't live on the outside wall. So the idea was that if the prophet was in the outside wall, he would be at peace and the family would be within the house, further within the house. So there's a little bit of thought went into this. But notice the things that are in the room. The first thing there is a bed. A bed. And that's significant. Because this lady recognized that rest is needed in the ministry. Rest is needed. The prophet needed to sleep. He wasn't a robot. He couldn't go 24/7. So he needed to lay his head upon the pillow to rest his body and to rest his mind. However, not only is there rest signified here by the bed, but the table and the stool, which simply means chair, and the lamp, that signifies the preacher also had to work. So it's important to rest as a prophet or as a preacher or in the work of God, but it's also important to work. It's very important to work. Time to study is essential in the ministry. It's essential. There's no point me coming here and speaking off the top of my head of a Sunday morning, having wasted my time during the week. We have to spend time in the presence of the Lord, in the quiet place, in the reading of God's word, the study of God's word, preparing our hearts and praying. And therefore, I believe this is a word for all believers. There must be rest if we're going to serve the Lord well. If we're going to have a healthy body and a healthy mind, we have to take care of that body. We have to give ourselves sleep. But we also have to work. There are many people who are fixated on that rest part, and they're so busy resting, but they're not resting from anything. And therefore, we need to work, and we need to rest. And there are periods of work, and there are periods of rest. And of course, is it not even as the Lord has given to us in the week, there are 6 days to labor and do all thy work, and then the Sabbath is a rest? Set aside the things that are not of God and set aside the things that we could do during the week that we might focus on the Lord and on his glory. That was the provision, a place to rest and a place to work. Secondly, I want you to see the blessing of thankfulness and reciprocation. Because not only did the prophet receive a blessing, and not only was the lady giving the blessing, but the prophet wanted to thank the lady for the blessing. Now, I think here you see the heart of Elisha and you see the heart of the woman. First of all, let's look at the heart of Elisha. He was grateful for what had been done. He was grateful for what had been done. He didn't expect it. He didn't seek it. He didn't act as if he deserved it, but we see a grateful heart that desired to express appreciation to this lady for her generosity. He wanted to be generous toward her because of her kindness. He wanted to reciprocate her kindness. He even offered to go to the king to get some honor for her if that's what the lady wanted. You know, the Bible calls the Christian to be thankful. It's a mark of the ungodly that they are unthankful. But how wonderful whenever we are thankful for what we receive, when we're thankful for what the Lord has given, when we're thankful for what others have given. And that's the heart of Elisha. He didn't just take it and walk away. He didn't just use it and forget to say thank you. But he wanted to thank and show this lady a special kindness. But what's very interesting is this. In his asking, would you like me to give you an honor from the king or from the captain of the host? The lady says these words in the end of verse number 13. I dwell among my own people. I dwell among my own people. And here we see a pure motive and a humble spirit. This lady was literally offered, you can get an honor from the king or an honor from the captain of the host. But she hadn't given to Elisha to receive anything back. Now she did receive much more than she gave, but that wasn't the motive behind it. And the greatest part of her giving was not what she gave, it was the sincerity with which she gave it. She gave it out of a humble, sincere heart. She wanted to help. She wanted to encourage. She wanted to bless through her actions. And that's why she said, I dwell among mine own people. She was content and satisfied with her lot in life. She didn't want or need to be exalted or honored in the land. She was serving the Lord just exactly where the Lord had placed her. Matthew Henry said it would be well with many if they did but know when they are well off. This lady didn't need more to be happy. She didn't need honors to be happy. She didn't need the king to compliment her to be happy. No. She was happy serving the Lord in her own way as the Lord led her. And therefore, the heart of Elisha was grateful and generous. The heart of the lady was of pure motive and a humble spirit. What about your heart today, Christian? What about your heart today? You see, we've been richly blessed. If you're saved, you have salvation. You have a home, you have friends, you have life within your body. You have a measure of health, you have a place to worship. Have you been thankful for what you have received? Are you like Elisha? Are you thankful? Are you grateful? Are you generous to give back to God? Are you like the woman? Have you a pure heart and a humble heart that says, I rejoice in what the Lord has done for me. I'm happy in the Lord right here, right now. And I'm saying to every believer today, every Christian in this building, in the complex, watching at home, wherever you're watching in from today, I'm saying, if you have lost your joy and your thanksgiving in the Lord, stop right now. Stop. I know we're going through hard times. Of course we are. I know what it is to lie awake, not able to get to sleep, with all the things that are going on in your mind, of course. But I'll tell you this, our God still satisfies. Our God still gives a peace that passeth all understanding. Our God still gives joy in the depths of our soul that overflows and bubbles. And praise God, makes us glad in the Lord. And perhaps you're thinking, well, when things get back to normal, then I'll rejoice in the Lord. Or when things move the way I want them to, I'll be happy. But friend, I say this lovingly, you're very much mistaken. You're very much mistaken. Because what you're saying is that my joy depends upon my circumstances and not my Christ. You see, your circumstances will continually change, but Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And therefore, you've one duty today. Dear Christian, you have a duty today. And you get to it today. Make sure that you're rejoicing in the Lord. Make sure that He is what thrills your soul. Make sure it's He that makes you happy today. Because if that's not the case, you need to ask the Lord to deal with your heart. And surely we must, those who are saved, we must bow our hearts before the Lord in worship, and we must praise Him with thanksgiving. Turn with me to Psalm 100 just for a moment. And I've read this psalm so many times over the years, and it was only yesterday, as I was looking over this message again, that this verse came to my heart, and I'll tell you, I was challenged. I was challenged. Look what it says here. Verse number 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Friend, how did you drive through the gates this morning? How did you walk through the arches at the front and through the door into the court of the house of God? Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Do you realize that we have to prepare ourselves to come to God's house? Do you realize that when we come to worship, should it be in a children's meeting? Should it be in a prayer meeting? Should it be in a Sunday service? Here's the way that the people of God are to come into the presence of God. We enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. We're thankful unto Him and we bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. That's why we're happy today. That's why we're rejoicing. God is good. That ought to be the basis of your joy. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. Verse 2, come before His presence with singing. Oh, that we would read this psalm every time we come to the house of God. 5 little verses. Oh, how important they are. What an attitude we will have as we come here. But friend, we see something else here. Not only have we looked at the blessing of giving, not only have we seen the blessing of thankfulness and reciprocation, but we see now the blessing of the Lord upon the giver. You see, the Lord stirred Elisha's heart. Because Elisha wanted to give something to this lady. And if she didn't need anything, or she said she was content, what can I give her? And through his servant Gehazi, he was told that she had no child. And unto Elisha, God revealed that this lady would have a child. And not only did God reveal it, God provided it. This is not the first time in scriptures that the Lord has made an announcement to a lady in a very unexpected way, that she was going to receive a child, and then that child was provided. We think of Sarah in the Old Testament, wife of Abraham, and she was given the child Isaac. That was a child of the promise of God. We think of Hannah in the Old Testament, and Eli revealed to her that she would have a child, and that was a child of the promise. That was Samuel. And then we think of Mary, and that was revealed to Mary that she would have a child. And friend, that was a fulfillment of the promises of God. He was the Saviour that fulfilled every promise that was made in the Old Testament for the provision of a Messiah. And God rewarded this woman for her kindness, for her generosity, and for her attitude in giving. Friend, you see, this lady did a very kind thing, and there was no way in her mind that she thought, if I do this, God will give me a child. No, she saw a need. She wanted to encourage. She wanted to use what she had to encourage the servant of God. And then he wanted to thank her. And the Lord looked down and saw her kindness, and the Lord blessed her beyond measure. The Lord gave her more than she ever gave away. The Lord gave her much more than she ever received. And friend, is that not true? The Lord's no man's debtor. And how gracious and merciful and good God is. And how often when we give to God, does he not give us more of a blessing than we have given? And as I thought about this today, here was the prophet Elisha. And he was honored by the Lord because this lady was so kind and generous to him. This home was open. This place was provided for him. But he was thankful and sought the Lord. And the Lord was blessed this lady. And so I thought about that. I want us to conclude today thinking a few moments about the principles of giving in Scripture. The principles of giving. And I think it's very important that we as a people of God have the right attitude toward giving. We live in a world that's get what you can, store it up, me, 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 me. But we come to the Word of God, and that's not the way the Christian ought to be. The principles of giving. First of all, we need to remember what giving is. What is giving? Well, in James chapter 1, verse number 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. And therefore, giving is simply returning unto the Lord what he has first given you. You're not giving something to the Lord that he has not first given you. And therefore, it's a recognition that God has given. And I can use what God has given to be a blessing to others and to bless others and to help the work of God and to honor the Lord. So that's what giving is. Sometimes we think, oh, that was powerful. I did a real great thing. But God first gave you. And therefore, it's a delight to give. So how should we give? And I want you to just look at a few little verses as we look at this part. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Sorry, 9, chapter 9, apologies, chapter 9. First of all, we ought to give cheerfully. We ought to give cheerfully. It says there in verse number 7, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And that ought to be the attitude of our hearts. I am giving on to the Lord what he has given to me. And I want to give it gladly. I want to give it willingly. I want to give it that the Lord's work will prosper and it will be blessed. But friend, even as you're giving to others, and you see others maybe with a need, or others you want to help, give it cheerfully. Give it gladly as unto the Lord. We also ought to give by tithing. And that's a very important principle in the Word of God. Turn to Malachi chapter 3, last book of the Bible, the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8, asks a question. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And here's what the Lord says, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in thine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So we give cheerfully, we give by tithing. And what is a tithe? A tithe is a tenth part of what you receive. So a tenth part of your income. So if you're getting pocket money, maybe at a pound, that's 10p out of your pound is to be given to the Lord. That is your tithe. Now it's interesting to note some things about this. It says, prove me now. And the Lord asks us to prove him, to put him to the test, to see if he will not bless us for obeying him. And I know, humanly speaking, we sometimes think, well, if I lose that, I'll struggle. But I'll tell you, if you give to God what he asks for, you'll not struggle. God will bless, God will provide everything that you need. And he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Because as God looked upon the land at that time, his declaration was, ye have robbed me. And friend, we ought to be coming into God's house, having given to the Lord what he has asked us to give, and then expecting the blessing. And therefore, I challenge you, if you're saved, walking with the Lord, here's something that you ought to be doing, bringing your tithe, bringing your tenth, and giving it unto the Lord. How else are we to give? We're to give sacrificially. Now, what do you mean by that? Not necessarily to leave yourself in need, but not only your tithes, but your offerings. You're to give sacrificially. David said in 2 Samuel 24:24, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. And therefore, it ought to come out of your purse, your wallet, your bank account. It ought to be given unto the Lord. We ought to do it discreetly. We're told in Matthew's Gospel and the chapter number 6, don't let your right hand see what your left hand is doing. And therefore, you're not to do it publicly. You're not to do it in such a way that everybody knows exactly what you've given and to whom you've given it. And you're not to broadcast it. Quietly and discreetly, you're to give to those whom God has called you to give. Give unto the work of God. Give your tithe, give your offering, and give it unto the Lord. We're also to give it systematically. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And some people think, well, why are there offerings in churches? Churches are just greedy. Churches are just trying to make money. Well, that's not true. There are offerings in churches because it has been declared in the Word of God that upon the first day of the week we do set aside in store as God has prospered. And we do it gladly as unto him. So what should we give? What should we give? We've been talking about giving, and I know immediately we think money. Of course, yes, money probably is the most natural thing that we can give. But when we think about giving in the Christian context, what are we to give? Well, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, because we're told. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. And there is a great thanksgiving of Paul toward the work of God here. And it says in verse number 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They were poor. They were struggling. But they gave to God. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, that they were willing of themselves, praying with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. What's the thing they gave first in verse 5? They gave first their own selves to the Lord. Friend, the first thing we have to give to the Lord is the heart. We have to give the heart. You see, a man can come along and give £100, but the heart mightn't be right before God. We first must give our heart. That's the scriptural order. Give your heart, give yourself, make sure you're walking right, and then there'll be no problem with the giving. We ought to give our abilities. We ought to give our spiritual gifts. We ought to give our time. We ought to give our resources. We ought to give our money. We ought to give our time. We ought to give the Sabbath day to the Lord. We ought to give the times of worship to the Lord. Say, Lord, it's not too much for me to come to 2 services or 3 services a week, because you've given me all the time I have and the health and the strength, and it's a blessing and an honor and a privilege for me to come. And Lord, give you this time that you might deal with my heart. So therefore, we ought to give what we have, starting with ourselves. Then some of the promises regarding giving. Because Scripture makes it very clear that if we give, the Lord will bless. Now, we don't give to bless, we give to obey the Lord. We give to meet the need of the work, we give to encourage. But the Word of God says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Verse number, you're there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Go to chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse number 6. But I say, or this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. And friend, if you give much to the Lord, you'll receive much of the Lord. And that's a scriptural principle. We know that. And praise God for those who give on to the Lord and are blessed of God. In Proverbs 19, verse 17, it says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. The Lord will not see you go without. And then in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, and this is our final verse, you know, this is something I think that the world will recoil at. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Maybe you're thinking, no, I'd rather get than give. But there's a greater blessing comes with giving than there is with receiving. You see, God gave his Son. Greatest blessing that there ever was in this world. The greatest day that there ever was in this world was almost 2,000 years ago on a hillside outside Jerusalem. It's called Calvary. And there the Lord Jesus Christ died and suffered for the sins of his people. There the curse of sin was dealt with. There the devil was defeated. There death and hell were subdued. And praise God, our Savior not only died on the cross, but he rose again victorious over every enemy. The great and mighty conqueror. And that's how he's coming back again, as the mighty conqueror who will reign eternally. God gave. And friend, we are blessed. How can any of God's children sit here tonight, or sit here this morning, I should say, and say, well, I'll just receive? Friend, it's the very essence of the gospel that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that heart becomes like the heart of our Savior. And we become more Christ-like in our actions, in our attitudes, in our behavior. And friend, we give. God gave his Son, but we read something else, that Christ gave himself. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. That through his poverty, we might be rich. And Christ gave himself. Christ gave himself to save sinners. We read in Ephesians 5, he loved the church and gave himself for it. Therefore, friend, anything that we give on to the Lord or give on to others is very poor reflection of what Christ has done for us, but praise God, he has given. And my question this morning is this, are you going through this world trying to receive all that this world has to offer, and yet our Savior stands today saying that the gift of eternal life is yours if you will take it? Are you sitting today in this world and you're trying to grab all the money you can, all the property you can, all the houses you can, whatever it is that you're into? Friend, is that what your life is about? And if you died this day and went out into eternity, all you would have to your name is your business and your finances and your influence. But friend, nothing of Christ. What a waste. What a waste. Christ gave himself that he might give unto us eternal life. The gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And here we are standing, coming to the end of June 2021. And the gift of God has been given. And salvation is freely offered from the hand of a loving Saviour. And very many times you sat in the meeting and you've heard it being offered from this pulpit. But just like Festus, more convenient time. It's not that you disagree with the scripture or you think it's wrong. You know it's true. But not today. Not today. Friend, you don't know if you'll eat your dinner this afternoon. You don't know if you'll sleep in your bed tonight. You don't know if you will ever see your work colleagues, your school friends, anyone else again. Because God might be saying this night, thy soul is required of thee. And therefore, it is imperative that in all the things that you have got in this world, you lay them down. And realize they count for nothing in eternity. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm coming in my sin. I'm coming on my way to hell. I'm coming without any hope for my soul. But I'm coming to you. Because the word of God says, Christ is the Savior. Lord, I pray you'll save me today. I want to receive the gift of eternal life. I want to receive the cleansing of the precious blood. I want to receive today the righteousness that only Christ can give. I want to receive the adoption into the family of God. I want to be saved. Is there a boy or a girl? Teenager? Man or a woman? And today you want to be saved. You need to be saved. Then come now, just as we close our meeting. In a moment as we bow our head and bring our prayer and our time to a close, you call on the Lord to save you. You need Christ today. Only he can satisfy. And praise God, he's standing ready, willing, and able to save. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before thee humbly and reverently once again this morning. Lord, we thank thee for the teaching of thy word. And Lord, I thank you for challenging my heart regarding many of the things that we've talked about this morning. Oh Lord, help me, my brothers and sisters, when we come to this place to enter through his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Forgive us for the times, Lord, we've come with the wrong attitude. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we've come and we've thought that church was about me and forgot it was about the Lord. Lord, forgive us for the times we've robbed thee of the praise and worship that thou hast been worthy of.